T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Eddie Jackson, Bears safety.
Nothing easy, baby. You got to work, hard work. Like Tariq, he had a saying. He said, don't wish for it, work for it. So we going to work for it.
Interceptor of passes.
Rodgers, late pressure coming, throwing over the middle. It's broken up and intercepted in the end zone. Coming out with it, Eddie Jackson.
Scorer of touchdowns.
Here's the throw. He's picked off, and there he goes. Eddie Jackson to the house at the 10-5 end zone. Touchdown!
It's fun. You know, we're trying to bring that swagger back to the Bears.
Quarterbacks? Ooh, they hate him, but we love him.
Like Coach Nugget says, we're either getting better or getting worse. And right now, we got a saying, we're chasing greatness. We're not just saying it, we're actually coming in every day and improving it.
Eddie Jackson, every week with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is a Bears Friday brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Duncan, and we are delighted to welcome in Eddie Jackson. The Bears safety joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Eddie. How are you?
Morning, Eddie.
Good morning. I'm good. How you doing?
Well, we're not as lucky as you. We don't get to go to L.A. and get out of this weather. A national televised game, a Sunday nighter. You guys are coming off a win. Obviously, very frustrating. The four straight losses, and now here's an opportunity. You look at a game like this, not that you play any harder or any better on national television, but the audience is there for you, and that's got to kind of jack you up a little bit.
Definitely, and it's like all as a player, you enjoy the primetime games. You know, you're the only one on TV, so all eyes on you. So you know you got to go out there and really bring your A game.
How big of a loss is Danny Trevathan, Eddie? Obviously, Nick Krakowski filled in well, and he is a very, very good backup who might start on a lot of teams. But Danny Trevathan is, from the outside looking in, a leader on that defense, and his absence will be felt.
It's huge, man. Danny, just him, his presence, like you said, man, he's a leader. He's one of the most vocal defense leaders we had, so... You know, it was just time for everybody else to step up, rally around, come together and really put him on our back, because we know how he felt about the game, how he approached the game, his mindset of playing the game. So it's a huge loss for us, but, he's still around, and, that's one of the good things about it. He's still around. He's still vocal, helping other guys.
Eddie, you guys have, you look at the point totals and you look at where the numbers are with what you've done on defense, and you really can't complain, but you can't feel like you're having the season you thought you were heading to. And as a defense, is this, do we just say, well, you've had injuries and that's that, or do you look at it as a bit of a disappointment and a bit of a frustration?
I won't say, first, we won't complain and say nothing about injuries, because that's out of it. That's not the point. And it just, we just got to step up, just continue to, play better, correct the little things like third down and, giving up the yardage or letting guys like teams drive the field, because we hold ourselves to a standard, And I understand no team can drive the ball and we can hold them to a field goal and no points, but I still, to us, that's bad. That's not good football. We want to, they don't move, they don't score, they don't win. That's just always the model. So we just got to continue to correct the little things. Whoever's down, it's always tough, when you have a guy like Keen go down or then Danny go down, but it's always the next man up mentality. So that's time for everybody else to step up and make more plays.
You know, Eddie, so much of playing defensive back or just playing defense is confidence and attitude and the swagger that you had last year. And throughout this season, as the numbers haven't maybe been there, and people look at the takeaways and they talk about they can compare those things. They look at the interception, they can compare those things. How have you been able to keep your confidence without the numbers to back it up? And has that been a challenge for you?
No, just going out there, just – continue to dominate, you know, my square, my box, you know, my man, and, you know, just take care of my assignments. You know, somebody asked me, was I feel like I was playing, you know, they asked me in an interview, was I feel like I was playing worse than I did last year. I'm like, no, not at all. You know, I feel like I actually improved in more areas, you know, this year, more physical with tackling, my man-to-man coverage, you know, it's all better. But you just got to understand, man, you know, when you go out there, you put the type of numbers up you have last year, you know, teams start to respect you more. So you going to always be the one they have their eyes on, you know, in the back end when they hike the ball, knowing where you are on the field at all times. And, you know, you become a threat, and, you know, and that's just the respect. But, you know, at times it gets frustrating. So it's just time, you know, to do things different, whether you're disguising, you know, trying to show this coverage and coming here or coming from one side of the field. And, you know, just continue to try to get better at the little things of disguising so you can be able to make those plays. You know, the numbers don't define, like, if you're playing good or not, you know, because, you know, if you watch film, you know, everything's been pretty solid, you know. So you just got to continue to just get better at the little things, which is disguising, you know. And it's tough, you know, because quarterbacks, like I said, when you line up, you know, and quarterbacks trying to see and pinpoint where you are on the field, you know, it's more difficult. And, you know, some plays or some throws that you would see that happened last year, you know, you're not really going to get them this year. You know, the quarterback don't want to really put the ball around you, especially if they know you can, you know, score touchdowns. You know, the same thing with, like, Mac, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Going to slide a protection to him all the time and, you know, try to locate him as much as possible. So you just got to continue to go out there, just dominate your square and do your job and, you know, continue to stay at it. You know, it's going to come.
You know, I got to be honest with you, Eddie. I thought when Chuck Pagano took over, the storyline, at least locally, was he likes to blitz. He's going to put more pressure on the quarterback, and we're going to see the possibility of more turnovers and more big plays because you guys are going to blitz so much. And we really haven't seen that at all. And in fact, it, quite the opposite. We've seen, as you say, a lot of teams kind of gearing up to stop Mac, and we haven't seen a ton of pressure on the quarterback. We've seen you guys, I don't want to call it a prevent defense, but you're playing a little bit differently than maybe people anticipated. Do you feel like you guys could be more aggressive?
Me, honestly, you know, I just go out there and just execute the game plan. You know, personally, I feel like we can be a little more, but, you know, everything's about a game plan. You know, you got to go out there and execute the game plan. You know, it's not on us to call the plays. You know, we just got to go out there and execute them. So, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, that's why you're a player and you have coaches. You know what I mean? You got to go out there and line up and, you know, do as they say and to the best of your ability. You know what I mean? So it's really not the play calling. It's just about how you execute. And for us, we just got to continue to go out there and execute, play fast. And, you know, like I said, man, it's different now. You know, teams, you know, they game plan certain guys, you know, and try to stay away from certain guys. So it makes it a little more different, you know, especially. But us, we have a lot of playmakers on defense. Anyone can make a play at any moment. So we just got to continue to, you know, to work together, just continue to execute the plays better and get everything down.
Our conversation with Eddie Jackson is brought to you by our new partners at Mercedes-Benz of Orland Park, who sponsor Eddie every Monday morning, usually with us at 8 a.m. Today, he's with us on Friday. He'll be on McNeil and Parkins Monday at 5 after the Rams game. Make sure and listen to both segments or on demand at 670thescore.com. Eddie, the success that you guys had against the Rams at Soldier Field last December in what was probably the signature victory of last season, how much does that carry over? How similar will the approach be? And what did you learn from that experience that might be able to help you on Sunday night?
Last year is last year. You know, it's a new season, but just knowing that you went in and the type of, you know, the type of team we had and the confidence we played with, the swag we played with, you know, the energy and everything that you seen on film last year, guys flying around making plays on every side, every end of the ball, it was fun, you know. And it's just, you know, that, all right, that's what it takes. You know, that's kind of what it takes for us to go in here and win, because we know it's hostile territory. You know, we know they feel some type of way about last year coming in here and, you know, we dominating them. So we know we're going to go in into a real fight, you know, this game. And we had to bring our A game, man. You know, you going out there, you going into the hostile territory, man. So you got to be on top of everything. You know, you got to come in. You got to be able to play physical. You know, it was things about, oh, it was cold last year. So now we in A city. It's warm, great football weather. So it's just for time for us to really have to step up. And, you know, all these games are playoff games for us. You know, we know what they mean. We know it's at stake for the rest of our season. So we just got to come in and be prepared to play four quarters for a tough game.
Eddie, did you watch the game last night? Did you get to see the Myles Garrett play? And I'm curious what your thoughts were. That was kind of crazy.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy to me, man. Honestly, you know, it's 8 seconds left in the fourth quarter. You know, the game is won. You know, a mistake like that, especially the type of player Myles Garrett is, you know, you just can't make those type of mistakes. You know, I know you get frustrated, but you can't make those type of things. It was just, you know, it was just crazy, you know, to see him do that and hit guy with the helmet, man. We was watching like, man, that's crazy. I can't, like, it was a shocker, you know, couldn't believe he really did that, but it was just crazy.
Have you ever seen anything like that on the football field?
I mean, in practice, in college, you know, guys going at it, ripping helmets off, but no one really hit nobody with their helmet. You know, probably swing or throw their helmet, you know, somewhere, but actually hitting a guy with his helmet? Nah, that's my first time.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, I'd be very curious to see what the league does about it and how that turns out. And do you know Myles Garrett at all? I mean, there's a brotherhood, right?
No, I don't know him at all. Okay. I just, you know, played against him in college, you know, and I never thought he was that type of guy, you know what I mean? Just, you know, playing against him and seeing him play, I never seen him do anything like that. So it was kind of out of the ordinary. Like, we watching the game, like, what? Like, he's Myles Garrett doing that? Like, that's, you know, that's crazy, but that's just kind of crazy. I want to see what the league is going to do about that, too, because, you know, you got to set an example, you know, so it's. Yeah, it's gonna be crazy, I think.
You know, Eddie, the other big story around the league this week is the Saturday workout of Colin Kaepernick, and I'm curious how players are viewing this because it's been such a source of conversation throughout all the sports, and he gets his opportunity within this league-sponsored tryout or workout, and I think every team is invited. The Bears have not been on that list yet. How are you looking at all this, and is this something that people in the locker room talk about?
We talked about it a little bit. You know, it's just, you know, us as players, we just happy he get another chance, man. You know, and you seen everything that he went through, not playing and having to sit out and do all the other stuff, man. We just happy and excited he gets a chance, you know. And that's just been the topic for us as players. Like, man, we just happy he get a chance. But as far as the Bears showing any interest, I'm not really sure. You know, I didn't hear anything, and Mitch is our quarterback. So, you know, like I said, we're sticking with our quarterback. So I'm not really sure about anything else.
We haven't even mentioned Alabama LSU, and we wouldn't do that to you, buddy. So don't worry about it.
It's okay, because we see them again. I'm telling you, it's gonna be different. It's gonna be a different outcome. I just hope we play them again. I'm hoping.
Eddie, you mentioned Mitch before we let you go. Obviously, you're close with Mitch Trubisky. You guys came in the same season. You have, you know, lockers next to each other and a lot of things you've seen him endure and go through. How big of a step was last Sunday seeing him have the 3-touchdown afternoon against the Lions?
It's big. You know, it's big. And it's what's expected. You know, when Mitch go out there, like I said, he uses his foot. He runs. And I feel like his game is better. You know, when he go out there and just play his game. You know, don't try to be nobody else. You know, he just go out there and be Mitch. You know, he can run the ball, escape situations with his feet and things like that. And you know, it shows, man. And we knew what it's like, what he had. You know, we never second-guessed him or questioned him. Like, we knew it was, you know, now it's just time to continue to build off that performance and, you know, do it week in and week out and stay consistent with it.
Eddie, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling a pick six or at least an interception. You've been in a little drought. I heard you say earlier that it was the longest of your football playing career. So I'm feeling it this week, buddy. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too, man. Me too. You know, playing a little different this week, so we should get it.
All right. Sounds great.
Good luck, Eddie.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one.
That's Eddie Jackson, the Bears safety. Playing a little different.
Be a good time for his first pick six of this season. That'd be well-timed against the Rams on Sunday Night Football.
Speaking of good timing, it's a Bears Friday, so it's brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin'. Oh, I have enjoyed my Dunkin' all morning. Kevin, are you still working on yours?
Still working on mine. Yeah. It's the one that I bought Dunkin' now, because it's like from 2 hours ago, but it's still delicious.
We want to once again talk about the magnanimous gesture of my buying Kevin.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
I could get used to you buying Dunkin' every day, actually.
Hey.
Not just on Bears Fridays.
Back off.
Every day's Dunkin'.
Let's bring in Jeff Joniak next. He's the voice of the Bears. We'll find out how this thing will go down. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Jeff Joniak, the voice of your Chicago Bears.
Second and 5, snap back. Trubisky looking to throw. Jacks the ball, looking into the end zone for Broniker. Reaches up, and he makes the catch. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears!
Twitter.com/Jeff Joniak.
Trubisky on the take. Flips it onto the left flat with a lot of room to run at the 15, to the 10, to the 5, in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Cohen! Touchdown, Bears!
Trubisky, clean pocket, gonna zip the ball down into the end zone for Gabriel! Right side of the end zone! Beat the coverage for 6!
Jeff Joniak with Mully and Haw.
Snap back, 4th and 7. Driscoll stepping up. Driscoll steps out of a tackle, running left, fires into the end zone. Pass is incomplete.
Flag down.
As time expires, but there is a flag.
Illegal forward pass.
Here we go.
Offense.
Oh, okay.
Ball game. Fade to black.
Jeff Joniak, you are ridiculous.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is a Duncan Bears Friday. Chicago runs on Duncan. And Jeff Joniak joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Jeff.
Morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you feeling?
You know, I think everybody's ready for the big win, Jeff. Everyone's ready for a nice Sunday nighter. The pregame, 4 o'clock on News Radio 780 WBBM, 105.9 on your FM dial. And it was great to see the end of the losing streak, and now it's time to stack some wins, right?
Absolutely. You know, they're hard to come by, obviously. We realize that more than anybody else over the years. But you got this Rams game, and then, you know, a couple of matchups. I mean, you could literally, if you don't look too far ahead here, you know, get yourself back into some feel-good moments with the Giants next week and then the Lions again in Thanksgiving. But you know, this is going to be difficult, no question. It's not Chicago Soldier Field in a brutally cold day for a quarterback that did not react well to it or to the pressure the Bears put on him a year ago. It's my favorite game in a long time, that performance by the Bears defense and how they played that game. I don't know how anybody else can even debate that. It was just vicious, and I hope they play that same way. And, you know, even just watching some of the tape from that game, boy, you just would really love to have 96 in there because he was unstoppable.
Jeff, I love your pregame show every week. This week especially, I'm looking forward to the interview with Ryan Pace. It's been a long week at Hallis Hall because of the Tribune took the deep dive in the 2017 draft and the revelation that he did not meet with Deshaun Watson before that. And then the Colin Kaepernick situation with Saturday having the workout that the Bears have yet to commit to. Maybe they will end up there, but I do think it's very fascinating to see how the teams are handling this. When you talk to Ryan Pace, will that come up, and what do you expect him to say if those two topics do?
I would think he would be keeping it quiet if he does or doesn't. I don't think he is going to broadcast any workouts that he goes to. So that's just my guess. I have no idea. I'll bring it up, but I have no idea what he'll say. As for Kaepernick himself and the workout itself, you know, I and just conversation with Tom and over the years, I just wonder where his love of the game is really at. That would be my first question, aside from everything else. And just looking at it, you know, he's been out 3 years, and you know, I don't want any player not to be invited back to play the game they love so much. But you know, I'd first have to find that out, you know, from Kaepernick. I mean, when he first got into the league, that was the first game we saw him play against the Bears in San Francisco,
yep,
and I was blown away. I was blown away. I thought his trek was sky high, but that doesn't mean it is now.
What did you think of that Tribune deep dive? I mean, we were talking about, was there anything there you didn't know?
Pardon me?
It was very well researched and very well written. And,
yeah, very
but
well
was
done.
There was there anything
very
there?
Well done.
Did anything surprise you, Jeff?
The thing that stuck out to me, I had no idea that Drew Brees was benched in his third season. That was a great nugget. There were a lot of interesting things in there, but some things maybe we don't know, and some things that Ryan's not going to tell us, and I'm certain he's probably not going to talk about it.
We just talked to Eddie Jackson, Jeff, and I think that at the end he said something about how this week is going to be a little bit different, and the implication was, well, what could be different? I'm intrigued too. What do you think that could imply? Do you think they could be coming after Jared Goff more than they come after other quarterbacks?
Tora.
Just Mike's excitement right there. Is that what you want to see?
Yes.
I don't know, Jeff.
Jeff, I want aggression, okay? And I can't get it on the offense, so give it to me on defense, please.
I agree. I think the mentality is exactly that. In the locker room on Tuesday it was, as it was wrapping up, it was Eddie, Khalil Mack, Kyle Fuller. They're all in the corner by Eddie Jackson's locker, and they're having a conversation. And I'm sure it was about football. It looked pretty serious because – all these guys want to play. That game right there, that is a clinic tape. Matt Nagy talks about clinic tapes on specific plays offensively. That defensive tape, that was a clinic. Now, are you going to run the same stuff? All I know is when I covered Super Bowl week, that game and that topic came up repeatedly from the Rams, and they're still hacked off about it. And there are quotes from guys, Roby Nicole Coleman, saying, hey, they're not going to do this to us again. They anticipated meeting each other in the playoffs. So it got under their skin a little bit. It was the first time they'd been completely shut down like that. And, the Bears, they blitzed, but they didn't blitz a ton in that game, just enough. But, the first interception Goff threw, that was no pressure. I mean, he was already beat. He was beat. And they just moved that line of scrimmage. And the offensive line is much worse right now for the Rams. So it should be a vicious effort up front, and when we've seen the effort up front be vicious, I'm not saying they played poorly. I'm just saying when it's vicious, good luck. They are tough to stop.
Our conversation with Jeff Joniak on this Bears Friday is brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin'. Okay, Jeff, so how big of a step did Mitch Trubisky really take against the second worst defense in the NFL? Three touchdown passes, no interceptions.
We're gonna find out because and it's not just that game. I mean, I think what we're hearing and what we're doing, and I'm doing the same thing. I'm squeezing the juice from the fruit here, and the best juice I'm taking into the next week. And if it's three plays, if it's six, if it's ten, at least there's movement in the right direction. And again in that game. Again, I have to say, he didn't get all the help that he needs as a quarterback that is struggling. And so you can't have drop passes. You can't have mistakes. It's just too tenuous right now. So if you want to be a team that's going to somehow wiggle their way back into the playoff conversation, everybody's got to be working as one here and helping that guy out. I think that those were confidence throws, and he beat man coverage. So you'll see a lot of man coverage against the Rams.
Jeff, we'll let you go. Obviously, David Montgomery has a lightly rolled ankle, which indicates fluffier running. What do you have any doubts about him?
When he didn't practice yesterday, radar went up for me. But they have always handled injuries very gingerly and cautiously, and hopefully it's just precautionary that he didn't work. And that everything will be fine. Other than that, I can't call it. I mean, it would be a big loss for this game, obviously.
Especially with no tight ends.
Right, everybody's hurt. They got to find other weapons then, Ben Bronico was just fine on that play. Work Javon Wims into the mix. Do whatever you can to try and spread the field against these guys because they will be hard to beat up front. They'll be hard to beat defensively, even though they're still growing into their own insertions in the lineup. So, hey, can I say something about – I know
please.
It doesn't matter what I think, but can I say something about last night's game?
Oh, please.
Sure.
I don't know what the general consensus is. I have not listened to the show this morning, unfortunately. But
what?
I was sleeping. It's just such a chord in me. I got enraged. Yeah. This game needs to be protected because it's going to eat itself one day if they don't watch it. And I did not expect that. I heard Eddie say, that was Myles Garrett. I think that everybody's got a trigger, though. But that is a season ender and maybe more. He can't do that. He could have killed him, period. I've seen helmets rip off. I've seen guys throw helmets. At the 100 this summer, literally, Ed Obradovich was in tears talking about Chuck Hughes dying on a football field. And that's years later, obviously. It still resonates with him. And that was one of the toughest son of a guns that have ever played the game. So if it can make a grown man cry like that, that would be tough to handle. That would ruin the game.
There's no place for it, and there's nothing that it could have provoked that kind of reaction, no matter how many people out there might want to say, well, you can't do that if you're Mason Rudolph. That, no matter what he did, it didn't deserve that kind of response.
Not one thing.
Akeem Hicks. Akeem Hicks checked in this morning and said on Twitter, if you don't want to get hit with your own helmet, don't run up.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
no, I love Akeem to death.
Yeah,
it's wrong. Nothing, not one person can tell me about leniency on that situation.
That's tone deaf.
Good luck. You're never going to convince me.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, boys.
Have a great weekend.
Take care.
That is Jeff Joniak. Always fun to talk to Jeff. Always fun to get a scoreboard update from Kevbo.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This week, Mully and Haw got you ready for the Bears' Week 11 matchup against the Rams with expert analysis from WBBM Bears radio analyst Tom Thayer.
You think about going in the next week with Rashad Coward and Daniels at the guard position and Cody at center with Aaron Donald in there. I do have concerns on how Rashad is going to react to Aaron Donald, because you get these big guys for Detroit that you can get your hands to them, and then it's just a power battle. If you get out of your stance slowly and Aaron Donald, he's going to be laying on the quarterback when you're trying to retreat out of your stance.
Former Bears head coach Dave Wannstedt.
Jared Goff is not going to run. He's not a threat to run it. Jared Goff, on the other hand, he's the type of quarterback that's going to sit in there and hold the ball and wait for guys to come open. So this is a good opportunity, I think, from a blitz standpoint, and from just rushing the passer. Khalil Mack, I think, will have a good day this week.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Lombardi.
Do I give him a chance? Yeah, I give him a chance because the Rams' offensive line isn't very good. But, man, do they miss Akeem Hicks. Man, do they miss him, because they can't control the middle of the field. They need to play with power. You play the Rams, you need to put a big, powerful guy over their center and push him back, and you would beat the Rams.
The Chicago Tribune's Brad Biggs.
The Rams' offense is struggling as it is, and the Bears' defense is playing pretty good ball. So I ended up picking the Rams to win, but I think it's going to be a close, low-scoring affair, similar to what we had last year between these teams at Soldier Field. I picked LA 16-13.
And Bears safety Eddie Jackson.
We know it's hostile territory. We know they feel some type of way about last year coming in here, and we dominating them. So we know we're going to go into a real fight, this game. And we had to bring our A game, man. You're going out there, you're going into the hostile territory, man. So you got to be on top of everything. You got to come in, you got to be able to play physical. It was things about, it was cold last year. So now we in A city, it's warm, great football weather. So it's just time for us to really have to step up. And all these games are playoff games for us. We know what they mean. We know it's at stake for the rest of our season. So we just got to come in and be prepared to play full quarters for a tough game.
Will Mitch Trubisky and company leave LA with their second straight win? Mully, Haw, and your reaction to Bears Rams Monday morning starting at 5 a.m.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Hey, it's pumpkin season at Dunkin'. Enjoy the flavor of the season to its fullest with pumpkin flavored coffee, donuts, and more. America runs on Dunkin', and so does the Mully and Haw Show. Limited time only. Participation may vary. And I know a man who likes a little pumpkin coffee.
Oh, yeah, I do. I like pumpkin in my coffee. I like pumpkin, period. And I'm going to need some on Sunday night because we're going to stay up and watch that game, and I'm excited to do that. But what a difference a year makes. And I guess it's been technically 11 months, but you go back to last December, and the Rams are coming to Chicago, and it's a primetime matchup. And these were two teams that had Super Bowl aspirations. And it was after that win that you really felt like this Bears defense was as special as it had looked previous to that. And you felt like, oh, wow, Super Bowl, that became a part of our conversation when it came to the Bears. And here we are. Here we are now, 11 months later. This is an elimination game. This is winner goes on and clings to even slim playoff hopes, but the loser goes home with a winter of discontent. This is an elimination game for the Rams and the Bears, because I don't think that you can have any realistic hope if you come out of this with a loss.
I got to tell you, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens, not just in this game, but what happens in the league. You know, we are looking at some remarkable things going on in the NFL, and my goodness gracious, that game last night was just amazing. The on-field incident at the end of the game, the response that we're seeing, you know, Tariq Cohen found it funny. I thought Olin Kreutz had a remarkable response to it. He basically defended Pouncey for kicking Garrett in the head, said that, and now Olin would have been the first guy to protect his quarterback. Once you hit a guy in the helmet with his head with his own helmet, you are basically declaring there are no rules in this fight. And Pouncey, when DeCastro finally got Myles Garrett to the ground, he jumped up and kicked him in the head a couple of times, and that he was thrown out for that. And Olin kind of defends him and also says, "I wish I wasn't my 23.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not my 23-year-old self anymore." And Olin will be on at 2:30. That will be must listen to radio. He'll be on with McNeil and Parkins at 2:30. Dan and Danny will be talking to Olin. Yeah. I'd love to hear what Olin has to say on this.
He tweets out this morning, "Garrett will get the suspension he deserves. Pouncey was protecting his teammate after Garrett announced by hitting Rudolph in the head with a helmet, this fight has no rules. Pouncey gave Garrett what he wanted. Garrett is 23 years old. I'm glad I'm not who I was at 23.
So, Olin was terrifying at 23.
Yeah, I can imagine. He's terrifying now, however old he is. I mean, he's still a little bit terrifying, let's face it. But I don't think that he is certainly condoning this, and I think he's coming out on the right side of this.
Yes,
because
he is.
If
yes.
you don't, you're tone deaf. And if I were the right. Bears, you know, somebody at Hallis Hall, and you're seeing these players come out and mocking the idea and supporting this notion that what he did was justified by some reason of, you know, response,
nothing.
That's ridiculous. Tell your players to stop embarrassing themselves on social media, because that's what they're doing if you're coming out in defense of that kind of action. So get in front of the story. Don't make it a bigger story, because this was what we saw last night, inexcusable in the NFL, and it should result in the largest suspension ever for an NFL player for something like that. Haynesworth got 5 games.
Yes, he did.
This deserves, if it's the end of the season, at least 6.
Perfect already has, what, it's 12, right? If he's suspended for the rest of the year, I think that'll be as big a suspension as there is. And don't forget that Myles Garrett had a couple of late hits on quarterbacks this year already.
Yeah.
So, we have a texter checking in, and he's blaming Freddie Kitchens. He says, "Kitchens was hired to foster Mayfield. Nagy was hired to foster Trubisky. Not good to have a single purpose head coach." Now, I think that's unfair to Nagy in this situation, but I think if you look at what's going on with that Cleveland team, all of the hype coming into the season and just the lack of discipline, the horrible penalties, if you watch that game, they were headhunting that whole game. And I'm not saying it was inevitable that it was going to end like that, but my God, that was just a shocking conclusion to any football game, and you never want to see that. It was criminal.
Well, as you say, penalties are discipline, and I think that falls on the coaching staff and Freddie Kitchens specifically. If you were looking for a reason to think that the Browns made a mistake or need to move on after this first season of Freddie Kitchens, you found it last night, because this isn't a team that has any sort of discipline. Now, I will give credit to Baker Mayfield. I think he did what I frankly didn't expect him to do. Right. I think he called it inexcusable right after the game.
Yep.
And that's his teammate, and this is his team. And yet he is establishing the fact that it's not something that they can stand for.
It was rough.
He's a good teammate. It's not fair.
That wasn't him.
That was not. Wait a minute. With all due respect, going all the way back 3 hours and change ago, I suggested that the Browns step up and cut the guy, and you guys said, no way, no how, can't do it. Okay? You said that.
Yeah.
Now, what was Freddie Kitchen supposed to do? Bench this guy? Where's John Dorsey in all of this also?
John Dorsey's problem is he hired Freddie Kitchens.
Thank you.
That's his problem.
And again, Freddie's job was to take care of that was Baker Mayfield likes this guy.
Well, Dustin, that's a really good question, but I think what we're referring to is that you hope that your head coach creates an aura of respect to the point where players aren't going to push the envelope and disrespect him to the point where everyone looks bad by doing something that stupid.
Sure. Agreed.
Let's carry on the conversation with Dan, and Mark Grody is sitting in so we get a chance.
Grody!
Grody time! We'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.